Okay, this week in Tzavim Hayom, Rashi tells us that Klal Yisrael at this moment had just heard the Toichacha from Moshe, and they were very shook up by it. And he uses a strange Lashon Rashi, that the Mamish turned green from it. They were so shook up. And Hayriku Panashi stated their way, says, don't worry. He said to them, many times he angered the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. In many years of giving grace over us to every Muslim, I spent my life to get turn green, to be successful. But one thing I can happened, I wouldn't say just people take it seriously. It's to get people to take Divrei Zohar seriously. Moshe, what was the point? Shake them up. Get all shook up. Okay, don't worry about it. You're angry about Yishman. Don't worry. What's the pshat in it? So, there's two mahalchim, but I think we'll only have time for one today. Very interesting pshat. I heard b'shem Rabbi Yehuda. He said, in life, we all struggle. Nobody has menucha in life. There's no relaxation. Why? Because the lotion that everybody in life has, oily me, or oily me yoytri, means woe to me, creator, oily me yoytri, woe to me. Now, he gets upset. That's oily me yoytri, or it's oily me yoytri, to me against Tahara. If I don't do it, I'm holding back. My Yitzhara is getting upset. So my life, struggle between good and evil, between the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Tov, the Yetzer Hara. So I can't relax. There's always somebody who's being bothered the whole time. It's wrong in the direction. So he explains with this. There's a Tosefta in Shabbat. Reb Neroy Oimer. Ein lecha odom b'chol akrochim maton kestoim. There's no place in the world motoy. Mem, sof, vav, nun. What does that mean, that word? There's no place, Mosain Kastoin. So he explained the word Mosain is like the Mishnah in Ovois, Heve Mesunim Badin. Be slow, easy in judgment. It means tranquility. There's no place in the world more tranquil, more geschmack, laid back, easy going than Sodoim. And that's why we see Loit, it goes on to say, Loit chose to live in Sodoim. What was so special about Sodoim? It was tranquil there. We know it was lush, it was fertile. But what does it mean to be tranquil? So pshat is like this. Loit saw, like I told you earlier, that we all struggle in life between good and evil. You can't relax at all. You can never enjoy life. And then he saw one person enjoyed life. His name was Avraham Avinu. He was so tranquil, so relaxed. He didn't have that struggle. Why didn't he have the struggle, Mr. Ruffner? Why do you think he didn't have the struggle? Why do you think he didn't have it? No, somebody. Why do you think he didn't? Yes. He's already won the battle. Battle was over. He'd won it, right? Right? He'd won. So, Loit saw that. He was jealous. He doesn't have to struggle in life, Avraham. I wish I didn't have to struggle. But to get to that nuts of Avraham Avinu is not easy. He looked around, and guess what he saw? He sees a place called Sodoim. They also don't struggle. They're very tranquil and happy with life. There was no place more tranquil than Sodoim. They're also not having any more that fight. Why not? They'd also won. Yes, already won already. It was over. The game was over. Say, that's a geschmack place. I can live Avraham's life. All I have to do is go to Sodoim. The other way. So he went to go and live in Sodoim. That was the most tranquil place in the world. That is, when you reach that matzav, that's already the end of it. That's really bad news then. Moshe tells Klal Yisrael all the tikkun. He tells them all the terrible tragedies that are going to befall Klal Yisrael. And then they're all going out their minds. Says Moshe to them, 1 second, you're turning green in the face. You're worked up, you're upset, you're okay. You don't have to worry. You haven't reached that point where you've lost your conscience. That's for some like Sodoim. You've reached the matzav where you've lost your conscience already. There's no battle anymore. That's when a teichacha comes. The fact that you turn green, that was the point of it. It shows you still have a conscience and you'll work away from it. You don't have to worry people like you. You then have that little bit left in you that you can do tshuva again. And that is why in this week's parsha it says, Im yeyeh nedachcha b'kseh ha-shamayim. If you be scattered to the edges of the heaven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and gather you. It should say, if you're scattered to the ends of the earth, what's the ends of bring back to the space station? What does it mean? What it means is that everybody has in it some shemayim, spirituality, some shemayim in him. Shemayim, there's just a little bit of shemayim left in you. You're mamish at the edge, but there's some shemayim left. That's enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will gather you in and protect you. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says something. This is a separate thing, but it's the same concept again. Rabbi Yaakov explains with a similarity shot in Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Loit became a shofet in Sodom. Now, in order to become a shofet in Sodom, that's a political position. You have to have a political platform. And I hope in elementary school you had a social studies teacher who taught you what a political platform means. That's not something to stand for. Political platform is you give your views, your ideas, your agenda if you're voted into power. And then you do the opposite. Right? So, in order to get to become a leader in Sodom, obviously he had to show them he is the root of all evil. He is a Russia par excellence. Otherwise, he wouldn't get the job. So he won the job. He won the election. He must have been with the biggest Russia there to get it. How is it possible, asked Rabbi Yaakov, that very same day he won the election, guests come, and his moisa nefesh for the guests? How could that be? Such a rush he must have been. Makes no sense. They could be moisa nefesh on the day he won the election. So he explains. The Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Erdono ve'ere, I will go down and see. I will see what's happening over there. What does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go down? What does that mean? So he explains it means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what I'm going to do is, they're assured. I'll go down means I'm going to send Hashras HaShchina. I'm going to bring Kedusha there. I'm going to send Malochim there. When the Hashras HaShchina comes down there, there's that Kedusha in the air there. Let's see what happens. Is it going to affect them? Meaning, like we said in the thought previously, is there some conscience left? Something. When the Kedusha comes, they feel inspired something. I will go down and see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent that spirituality there, that Kedusha there. And what happened? Loit was the same Russia as them. He got affected. There was something deep inside him from his upbringing that came up to the surface. They stayed the same. But he changed that second. It was enough for him to take in the guests then. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's what Aseret Yemei Tshuva is about. The Pasuk says, Dirushu Hashem b'motzoi. Seek out Hashem when he is to be found. Chazal say, when is Hashem found? Aseret Yemei Tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes close. Erdano v'ere. He comes down to see, how will we react in this special time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends his Kedusha to us? And that is the Zman. You've got to make sure at that time to show and do special things at that time. To feel that Kedusha and start changing your ways. We have a pasuk in this week's parasha. Re'ei nasati lefanecha. See, I've given you for you today. Es achayim ves atoiv ves. I've given you life and good. The Klei Yoka asks a question over here. If any of you have sisters who've been to seminary, you know that one of the questions all the girls always ask when they get to seminary, you don't find this question by boys, but by girls they ask a question to the Rabbeim there, what's my tough kid in life? What am I supposed to do with my life? What is it going from? What's my mission? As if the Rebbe is going to know there that he gets like an email from Hashem telling what every girl's mission is in life. But they ask that question. Or they expect a little piece of paper to be sent to them, or a dream. They're going to tell them their mission in life. But that's what they ask. Boys ask, how can I have a good time in life? That's what they ask. So, this pasuk is telling you an understanding of life. What life is all about. He asks the question, the Klei Yoka, I have given before you life and good. So he asked him, Toima, Loma loy hiktim atoiv, it should say, I have given you good, because through good is how you get life. So why does it say, I have given you life and good? It should say, I have given you good, and now you're good, you get life. That would make more sense, that order. So the Klei Yoka explains, it's coming to tell you that the purpose of doing good in this world is not to get life. Some people like to party. I have to be good. Yeah, I need life. I want to explore. Give me things, so I'll be good. That's not why you're good, to get things back for it. The purpose of why you live is, why you alive, to do good. People get it back to front. I'm going to be good because I want it, Rosh Hashanah, to give me life. No. I want you, Rosh Hashanah, to give me life so that I can do good. That is the purpose of life.
I want life. Why do I want life? In order I can do good with it.
And that is what we daven for in Aseres Meitshuva. Zachreinu l'chayim, melech chafetz b'chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, why should I give you life? For what? For you to have a good time? To eat pizza and coke? What am I giving you good for? What am I giving you life for? I'm giving you life is, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do I want life? L'mancha elikim chayim. I want it to be able to serve you with. I want to do good with my life. The only way you can come and ask for life from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is if you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a reason to give you that life. If the purpose of your life is Avodas Hashem, then you have that right to ask for life. The Pasuk says, when it comes on you, bracha and klala. And you put to your heart the nations you live among, and you'll come and do tshuva. So tshuva comes, makes sense. The pasuk begins. When it comes on you, all the bracha and klala. Now we understand a person does tshuva when he gets klala. As they say, there are no atheists in the foxholes. People are suffering, they do tshuva. It's worth reading a letter in Yated this week. There's a person who writes, with signing his name, that Rahman al-Islam is suffering from cancer. And he writes a whole letter thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the cancer that he has. Because of it, he is now a different person. He lives his life differently. He acts differently. He doesn't say if he's going to live or not. But he's thankful that he has it, because it gave him a whole outlook to life because of it. So what brought him to tshuva is the klala. So we understand klala brings to tshuva. But what does the pasuk mean? Bracha doesn't normally bring to tshuva. So Ksav Seif explains. We see more nisim in Golus than there was in Yetzias Mitzrayim. When we sit b'shalva b'mnucha, we don't see the Hashgach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't see the Ahava HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're sitting in Golus, and we're sitting among Shivim Ze'evim, there are 70 walls around us, 70 nations that hate us, we constantly see Yad Hashem. So that's the Pshat in the Pasuk, is that when we're in Golus, at the time of the Klala, at the time when we're suffering, the Goyim all around, and in that Golus we see the Rebbeinu is giving an unbelievable bracha. The bracha is just our survival alone. It makes no sense that we're here today, that there's a Klal Yisrael today, as Shivim Ze'evim, 70 nations of wolves, who want to devour that Keves Echo, that one lamb, and that we're able to survive, that is enough to see Yad Hashem, Hashgacha Pratis, to see we're around. So it's the bracha in the Klala is what can bring a person to tshuva, when you recognize that. That B'chol Doi V'Doi, Oim Dimaleinu L'Chaleseinu. And I'm sure you can all sing nicely. That in every generation they try and destroy us. And still we're here? It makes no sense. Look in Eretz Yisrael. How many billions of Arabs there are around. And the little Eretz Yisrael on the side of New Jersey. And it's still in existence there. They want to wipe them off the map. And we've survived. There was a Holocaust and we survived. We're thriving. That is enough reason. And I think the point that brings this out the most was just unbelievable. If you haven't heard this, you could die to hear it. They made a newspaper when, for the millennium, made a special in January 1st, 2000, to commemorate. Now, in the 1990s, the beginning of the 1990s, there was a person who thought to himself, that we want to spread Yiddishkeit. So a way to do that would be, is to write every week in New York Times, on the front page on Friday, candle lighting time. Remember it? Every week they used to put in candle lighting time. And he paid like $5,000 a week for that. It was on the front page, like one line. Candle lighting time this week will be. And he thought people on the front page of New York Times are going to notice that. And they're going to ask about it, discuss it. And who knows what effect it could have on the people. This man paid for it for 5 years. And then he wasn't able to do it anymore after 5 years. They stopped doing it. When they made it on the New York Times, what they did is they had January 1st, 2000, the news, and had a front page of what it looked like ahead of January 1st, 2001. A special issue, Friday, January 1st, 2100. So it was a fictional and included things like Welcome to the 51st State, Cuba. It had an editorial discussing which robots should be allowed to vote. And different things like that. In addition to all those headlines and articles, it had one more item. At the bottom of the page, it was Friday, January 1st, 2100. Candlelight on this time. I wonder if they got the right time. Nobody paid for it. The production manager of the New York Times was on the document. And it's very simple. He says, we have no idea what's going to be 100 years from now. But what you the year 2100, Jewish women will be lighting Shabbos candles on Friday afternoon. That we know for sure. And that is what the Ksav Sefer is saying. You can see the biggest Hashgacha Pratit, the biggest Yad HaShem is going to be.